Welcome to This OLS Podcast.
Hi everyone, it's Bradeen with Podcasts for Erasmus. If you are a returning listener, thanks for coming back. And if you're new, welcome to our little Erasmus family. We got some great positive feedback about our last podcast, didn't we, Gwenael? And we are over the moon that you guys love them so much, because we enjoy making them. If you want to check out our other episodes, you can go to the Erasmus OLS forum and find them there. So, Gwenael.
Hey there.
Why don't you introduce yourself to our audience?
Well, I'm Gwenael. I'm originally from Belgium and I'm the current president of ESN Belgium, which ESN is the Erasmus Student Network. I guess I am what you call a key expert on intercultural obstacles, since I actually grew up abroad my whole life and therefore have experienced various intercultural differences. Since I went through the whole process myself, I now focus on giving more information to students who are about to start their mobility themselves.
Thanks for that. So, what have you been doing the last few weeks?
Well, I actually kind of had an embarrassing thing happen to me, Birdian.
What happened?
So, as you know, right now most of things happen online. So I was actually on Skype with someone.
Mm-hmm.
It was the first time we met, okay? And at the end of the call, he was like, "Oh, great stuff, air five." And then he high-fived me through the screen. And I didn't know what to do. I just looked at him very confused.
Oh.
And then I did what he did. I just put my hand up for an air five, but it was too late. It was so awkward and so embarrassing.
It must have been a difference in your culture.
Definitely.
Which is interesting, as that's today's topic.
It actually is. Intercultural differences, to be exact.
Mm-hmm. Can you tell us a bit more in general terms, Gwenael, what an intercultural difference is?
So while you're on mobility in a brand new culture, you might actually find yourself misunderstanding a situation, like me on Skype, for example. Which then could lead to problems in communication or even tensions amongst you. Again, me on Skype. So it's extremely important to be aware of the costumes of that culture and also to learn how to decode these costumes so you can adapt and have a positive experience overall.
Could you say that decoding customs of a new culture expands beyond an Erasmus mobility?
Of course. When you're traveling abroad or even working abroad, intercultural differences can happen at any time, really. It's the differences in being, such as, like, for example, communication, reactions, or even forming trust. Sometimes these differences in both nonverbal but also verbal communication can be really obvious, and sometimes they really aren't, and both can really impact the way we understand one another.
I have to ask, and I don't want to sound negative here, but it sounds to me a bit like stereotyping. Like, you find out you're going on mobility to a certain country, and people say things like, "Oh wow, everyone is super punctual there."
Yeah, absolutely.
Or the opposite, you know?
Definitely. It's really easy to fall into the trap like that. Actually, that's why it's important to get the word out there to get people to be more self-aware first and foremost. The Erasmus experience is there to broaden perspective, but not to put people or other cultures into boxes or stereotypes.
Absolutely. And culture doesn't mean country.
I love that. Culture doesn't mean country. Culture is a combination of so many different things and factors. For example, the way we're raised, the people we surround ourselves with, our education, our family, our ideals. So all individuals are unique within a culture itself.
That brings us to our next point. There's a really fantastic book. It's called The Culture Map. You've read it, I have read it, but maybe not everyone here has heard about it. So, tell us a little about it.
Okay, so the cultural map basically talks about the decoding cultural differences and how they affect the global business. But obviously, this theory can also be applied to Erasmus. Anyway, Erin Meyers, who's actually the author of this book, talks about the 8 culture scales, which she applies to different cultures and then compares them to see how they are different to each other. But what's more is that she encourages people to use that scale on themselves, to see the relationship an individual might have with their own culture as well.
Do you think you could give me an example? A bit of context for me and for our listeners?
Yeah, of course. So one point that is really important is how people communicate in relation to their own culture. The author puts communication on a scale that ranges, of course, from low context to high context communication. In the low context culture, for example, communication is good when messages are simple and clear and direct. On the other hand, we've got high context communication, which on the opposite, of course, means that the messages are often implied, but are not plainly expressed.
Basically, you need to read between lines?
Yeah, exactly. I actually spoke to a few Erasmus students about this. So let's hear what Luis Miguel from Peru has to say about his culture compared to his new context now abroad.
Well, in Peru is a very special case, I would say, because people are like very protective with their jobs, kind of even like jealous, like kind of competitive, but in a very indirect way. So people can tell you something, but the way they act or what they think could be totally different. And in my case, what I always try to do is be direct. Don't try to think if what they say is what they mean. I just being honest. And here, it's good for me because I don't need to try to read their minds because people are very direct.
Oh, I'm like Luis Miguel, a little bit direct. I like people to say how it is.
Me too. Now, while on the topic of communication, giving feedback is another point on the culture scale. It's sometimes that it's actually really different to do in some cultures.
So true. You don't want to offend someone.
Well, when I spoke to Luca from Italy and Winnie from Indonesia, they had a few comments as well to make.
When we want to say something bad about someone, we should use the sandwich that I studied but so hard to do in real life, you know. You should start with a good thing about him, and then you should introduce the bad thing that he has done, and then after that, as well, another good feedback. And that's like ideal good way to say a bad thing, but so hard to use in real life. So I don't know, usually I just say it like a critic.
Yeah, I totally agree, but the most important thing is that you approach him or her personally, not telling it in the group of people in your WhatsApp group. It's made worse.
So they both come from cultures where negative feedback is given indirectly and in private. Of course, there are cultures where people provide negative feedback bluntly, and criticism meant for an individual may be given in front of a group as well instead of individually.
So you have to be careful with that.
Absolutely. You could really affect someone's self-esteem by giving them feedback in a group if they aren't used to that.
That's got me thinking about multicultural groups and decision-making.
Well, that's actually a really good point. Depending on the culture, decision-making may be consensual, meaning that the group makes the decision, or it can actually be a top-down approach, which is when the boss decides. Quentin from France, Luca and Winnie had similar ideas on this.
My idea is to be like a coordinator, so just to ask questions and take the decision, but altogether it's like hearing, listening, but it should be the coordinator, nothing else.
Yes, I totally agree. And to add, for me, a leader, the task of the leader is to facilitate. And you're the one, the leader is the one who has the biggest responsibility. So you have to make sure that everything okay. And if you are being authoritarian, nobody will follow you and it will end something bad.
Yeah. You can't be like the best pal of your subordinate, but you can still like have good relations with them.
It is interesting, this idea that even in a top-down culture, people need to feel they can trust their boss, let alone other colleagues.
Well, also how this trust is built is also very different from one place to another. In some cultures, they are very task-based, which actually means that trust is built through professional-related activities. For example, if you do good work and you're reliable, they trust you. On the other hand, you also have relationship-based culture.
For instance, sometimes there's little side moments beside the group work that actually like can help create bonds. You're having business dinners, hanging out after work, coffee machine. The coffee machine talk is like really important in French culture. So I think you can still like make kind of assess the group and make a bond with the group because of all the side things, basically. But obviously, yeah, if you're just working, well, if the person works well with you, that's good. If the person is the relationship doesn't work out, yeah, I'd say it's harder even if they do their job correctly.
That was really riveting stuff. Thank you, Gwenaëlle.
Thank you, Berdian. But before I go, I'd really like to share one last insight.
Oh yeah, of course.
It's actually something Winnie said when I asked her about what she thinks we should avoid when trying to adapt.
Well, for me, I want to adapt, I want to blend in, but I also don't want to lose my own self. Like, for example, to be honest, I don't get used of like kissing person, even though I know this person very well, or hugging, because I never do in my country. So I don't think that I will do that in my future office.
That's a great last thought.
Yeah, it actually leads to the main point here, which is refrain from categorizing others and instead try to find your own comfort zone in the map. When you are abroad, if your boundaries are crossed, learn how to strategize coping mechanisms.
What a great final thought. Thank you, Gwenaël.
Thank you for having me.
So we got to cover 4 skills of the 8, but if you want to learn more on the points we talked about today, or find out more about the other 4 skills, which are persuading, deciding, disagreeing, and scheduling, make sure to check out the culture map. Well, that's it for this episode. Thanks a lot for joining us today, and see you next time.